This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Friday, October 25th. What did the president know and when did he know it? Not Richard Nixon, about whom that question originated in the Watergate era, and not Donald Trump. What did President Zelensky of Ukraine know and when did he know it? A New York Times story says the answer to that question appears to explode part of Trump's defense against the charge of extortion or bribery that the impeachment inquiry is looking at. So we'll call today's segment, Meanwhile, Back in Ukraine, with journalist Julia Yaffe, national security and foreign policy correspondent for GQ, formerly of The Atlantic and The New Yorker, Russian-born, American-raised. Among her recent articles, an explainer on why Ukraine pops up in so many U.S. scandals, and she has a forthcoming book with the title Russia Girl. Julia, thanks so much for some time and your expertise today. Thanks for coming on.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with this headline, and then we'll dig deeper on this scandal from a Ukraine more than a Washington perspective. A Trump defense is that he couldn't have been offering a quid pro quo of U.S. military aid to Ukraine in exchange for investigating Democrats this summer because Ukraine didn't know the aid was withheld until September. But the Times says it has documents showing Ukraine knew in early August. So how much, if at all, do you think that difference in timeline matters to the fate of this investigation?
Well, I think it matters a great deal. And I would just add that Bill Taylor, who testified this week behind closed doors, and then, you know, several publications got his statement to the congressional committee he testified in front of, said that the Ukrainians knew the aid was withheld also pretty much all of August. And I think it's really important because Donald Trump is saying that, you know, they didn't know, that he was just asking them for something, that this wasn't, they didn't realize it was tied to the aid, and therefore it's not a quid pro quo. I mean, they're very hung up on this, you know. It's not a quid pro quo because the president doesn't speak Latin. but, and the Ukrainians, of course, have fed into this narrative by publicly saying, no, of course, we weren't pressured. We didn't think we were being pressured. And it's important to realize that, of course, they would say that because they are still very much dependent on U.S. aid. They're still fighting Russian-backed mercenaries in the east. There's still this kind of semi-thawed conflict in the east, and the Russians are watching carefully. You know, there was a story in the Times yesterday about all the ways they were trying to deceive the Russians while they were waiting for the aid. To, you know, show that their army was still good and still, you know, well-fed and well-supplied.
Wow, what a position to have been put in.
Right, and Bill Taylor's testimony also really showed that they were getting really frustrated. They asked him at every turn, basically all of August and maybe even earlier, where is the aid? They were trying to be polite, but publicly they can't do that. They are very much dependent on specifically Donald Trump, and they're stuck with him until at least January 2021. So they have to not anger him. But
and
I
that's,
think
that's
is,
a new it, wrinkle yeah. of it to me that I hadn't heard that makes it even that much more threatening sounding for Ukraine. If they actually had to spend some weeks trying to fake out Russia to make them think that their military was as prepared as it wasn't actually because the U.S. was holding up this aid in order to keep their country safe.
Exactly.
President Zelensky never did announce these investigations of the Bidens or of the 2016 election interference that Trump was pushing for Zelensky to announce publicly, pushing so hard, as has been documented in these recent witness testimony sessions. Do you know why he never did actually take that step and announce the investigations that Trump wanted?
Well, it seems like, again, it hasn't gotten as much coverage as it should have because of all the things that happened this week. But Bill Taylor's testimony in Congress really was explosive, and the people who heard it said as much. And the statement really is just a continual jaw dropper as you read it. And he said that he, you know, made sure to talk to President Zelensky and various people around him to get them to commit to not making this announcement, that this was something they were happy to do anyway because they were themselves feeling very uncomfortable about being used as pawns in domestic American politics. Bill Taylor said that he tried to impress upon them that, you know, Ukraine has been a bipartisan issue and you should probably keep it that way if you want American aid. And I think the Ukrainians understood that themselves. I think they were, you know, the aid was released in September finally without notifying the Ukrainians. It just suddenly was released. And I think they were probably relieved.
Then this month, Ukraine did announce some kind of new audit of Burisma, the company Hunter Biden was on the board of. Can you tell if this is a phony investigation to satisfy Trump?
I don't know. But here's the thing is Burisma is a very opaque company. It seems like there's a lot to investigate, and they should probably be investigated, but I'm not sure that this is related to the Trump thing.
The prosecutor who Joe Biden helped to get fired, Viktor Shokin. Mm-hmm. I think the big lie here from the Trump side, as far as we know, is that Shokin was going to bust Burisma for something that would be bad for Hunter Biden somehow, and Joe Biden was out to protect him, and that's why the Obama administration, and oh, by the way, all of Western Europe, wanted Viktor Shokin out. How far is that?
And Republicans in Congress, let's just add.
Let's just add. So how far is that from the truth, based on your knowledge of Shokin and Ukraine? Was he on the warpath against Burisma, and was he fired to protect Joe Biden?
No and no is the short answer. The longer answer is that one of the reasons he was fired is he wasn't investigating Burisma, that he was not looking into these corruption cases, including at Burisma. So, in fact, the fact that Joe Biden played the bad cop for everybody else's good cop, including Republicans in Congress, I just want to underline, is that he opened his son up, in fact, to investigation by firing this guy who wasn't investigating Burisma, who refused to investigate Burisma, and many other corruption cases. The obsession with Burisma is interesting because it's just there's so many things to investigate in Ukraine, especially in the natural gas sector, which is an extremely corrupt sector of the economy with close ties to Russia, which is one of the reasons it's so corrupt. It's just, you know, it's a small piece of the corruption puzzle there.
Once the withholding of the military aid was going to be made public by the media in September because of the CIA whistleblower complaint, only then did the Trump administration release the aid to Ukraine. Do you think that's important to the plot here? And did it take all the pressure off Zelensky to get mixed up in the Trump campaign?
Yeah, I think that's very important. It just underscores the extent to which this is an internal political game for the president, and that he only released bipartisan-approved, congressionally-approved aid to Ukraine that is not supposed to be tied to our domestic politics, again, because it's in the national security interests of America to do this. He had it tied, in his mind, so explicitly to the thing that he wanted the Ukrainians to do for him here domestically in the U.S. to go after his political enemies, that only when this was going to be exposed here domestically did he release it. Again, I keep bringing up Bill Taylor's testimony, but it's a fantastic read, I have to say. If your listeners want to go and read it, a bunch of news organizations have it up. But it is just, it does document kind of a blow by blow of how the Trump administration was tying the aid. And, you know, we're focusing on the aid here, but there was also, they were dangling a White House visit for President Zelensky, tying it to this, all kinds of things they were tying to bringing in the Ukrainian president kind of into his battle against Joe Biden.
Can you give us your take on President Zelensky? You write that he was elected as a corruption fighter and to stand up to Russia. It also sounds from your earlier answer like he was willing to stand up to the United States and not go along with this Trump scheme because he didn't want to look to his own people like he was a pawn of U.S. politics. But you write that he's also linked to one of the country's most rich and powerful oligarchs. So is he the corruption fighter of his reputation?
The short answer is we don't know yet. He was just elected this summer, and not a lot of time has passed. The jury's still out. There are some promising signs. There's also some not so promising signs. It's a very long and complicated story about the nationalization of Privatbank, which was owned by Kolomoisky, this oligarch that is close to Zelensky. And it seems like the signal Zelensky is sending out is that he's going to go along with this scheme to let Kolomoisky reprivatized the bank after it was bailed out by the Ukrainian government. It's a long and messy story that is kind of a bellwether on whether or not he's serious about separating himself from this oligarch and really going after corruption. And on that score, it seems like he's leaning toward not going after it too hard. Mm. But we'll see. It's only been a few months. And I think now the world is watching to see whether he will go after corruption, in part because of what Donald Trump has dragged him into.
And it looks like Americans who have these questionable ties to pro-Russia Ukrainians are not just Republicans. We know Paul Manafort is in prison for illegal dealings around the former pro-Russia president of Ukraine, Yanukovych. Obviously, Manafort was a Republican strategist for Trump, but Hunter Biden's benefactor was energy mogul Mykola Zlochevsky, also tied to Yanukovych, and Bernie Sanders' chief strategist from 2016, Ted Devine, also had previously just been working for Yanukovych. Why is there so much money to be made by American political consultants in such a poor country?
Well, it's only a poor country if you're not an oligarch.
That's like the United States and every other country.
Yep.
It's only not a poor country if you're an oligarch.
Right. Well, exactly. It's, there's huge wealth disparities there. But in fact, Ukraine is not a poor country in terms of resources and agriculture. It could be, a wealthy country, but it is very corrupt and the wealth inequality there is tremendous. But the reason that there is so much money to be made there is because of these oligarchs, because they have so much money to spend. And they also are trying to be part of the West. A lot of them are, like Burisma, for example, wanted to, it was a very shady, privately owned company, very opaque, had global ambitions for that, to kick open some doors in the West. It's helpful to have somebody with a big name, recognizable name like a Biden, help you do that. The former vice president's son wouldn't be on our board now, would he, if we were so terrible and corrupt? And they have a lot of money to spend. They believe the American product is really good. There's also a lot of political consultants there, like Paul Manafort, that help Ukrainian politicians with things like polling and voter targeting, data, research. They believe that this stuff works and that we're really good at it, and they're willing to pay the kinds of money that people like Paul Manafort or Hunter Biden or Ted Devine, who asked for $10,000 a day plus travel back in 2014 when he was considering a job there. Just, you can't make that kind of money in the States. Especially if you're Hunter Biden, you have no experience in the energy sector or in the former Soviet Union. You wouldn't be paid $50,000 a month.
We're just about out of time, but back to Washington for a minute. You keep talking about how explosive the Bill Taylor testimony was the other day, and we've been going over on this show some of the other witnesses who were Trump appointees and yet have given such damning testimony. And yet, Republicans are pushing for the impeachment hearings to be made public, as if it's a big scandal that they're happening behind closed doors, even though both House Democrats and House Republicans are in the room and able to ask questions. But I keep thinking, what are you, crazy? When public hearings do start, which they reportedly will next month, and all these credible people from Bill Taylor on out go on live TV with their evidence of quid pro quos, Trump is in even bigger trouble than he is now. Do you think I'm missing something?
Well, I think you're right in part. On the other hand, I think you have to think about how this is going to be covered for the part of the population that really supports Trump and what's going to be shown to them on, on Fox News. And I don't know that they're going to see the whole testimony. I think they might see a lot of grandstanding by Republicans. I think that's a part of it, too, is they have to show Donald Trump and his base, which is their base, back home that they're doing something. I mean, it's no coincidence that the night before, the Republicans stormed the SCIF and violated all kinds of security protocols by bringing their phones in and taking pictures and tweeting from the SCIF, which the national security people I know kind of gave them heart attacks and strokes. The night before, they had dinner with Donald Trump where he said, "You don't have my back. You're not doing anything for me." So they, you know, pulled the stunt. And I think it's going to be a public hearing where they can grandstand and be mean to the witnesses and tell them that they're unelected bureaucrats and members of the deep state, which is trying to undo a popular election. That's going to play really well with Donald Trump, who they see themselves as working for, and with the, you know, Republican base that still fervently supports him.
Julia Yaffe, national security and foreign policy correspondent for GQ. One of her recent articles is Why Ukraine Pops Up in So Many U.S. Scandals. She's got a forthcoming book called Russia Girl. We invite you back when the book comes out. And thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Listeners, we want to hear from you. How many people in your social circles are talking about impeachment, and how closely are they following it? Give us a call and leave us a voicemail, and you might get to hear your voice on the podcast. The number is 844-745-TALK. Just leave us a message. Again, it's 844-745-8255. We'll also take your general questions, thoughts, feelings, ideas, and anything else you want to share with us about what you're watching for in the impeachment inquiry. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon at WNYC.org.